It's interesting that we opened with this song, Elvis, Money Honey. The other day, I was publishing something, and now I'm beginning to wonder which website I published it on. And I posted that very same song, but it was done by a black group that did it before Presley did. And now I can't think of what their name was. Welcome back to our second hour tonight, Jeff Bennett, Perspectives on America, on this final day of January. And, yeah, we're going down a different direction for this hour. I get deeply involved with the health stuff, and the further I got into that one, the angrier I got, which I'm sure some of you determined. I have a distinct feeling based upon a text that came into me during our last commentary that my friend Dr. Fred was probably listening, because he is very angered about the things that go on in his own profession. So hopefully that's the case, my friend. Economics, something we typically touch on Tuesday. But given the fact that we're now doing this two-hour set, things kind of move around a little bit. And I came across an interesting piece dated yesterday. And it was just the flat title. The dollar is finished as the world's reserve currency. Now, that according to a renowned financial analyst, Richard Bove. Over five decades of experience, recently made that striking declaration about the future of the U.S. dollar. According to a report by Rob Copeland for the New York Times, published on January 27th, he interviewed Bove, known for his candid and often unconventional views, who shared his insights on the U.S. economy, the banking sector, the fate of the U.S. dollar. And from his home office near Tampa, he expressed a dire outlook on our economy. His most startling assertion was the dollar is finished as the world's reserve currency. and we continue to read this more and more and more. We're seeing it. We're witnessing it. He believes that China is poised to overtake the U.S. economy, a view not commonly shared by his peers, whom he criticized for their reluctance to challenge the mainstream financial system. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to see this coming. For the last several years, we've been talking about the fact that they want a Bitcoin-type currency. They want a cryptocurrency. They want to get the paper dollars and the coins out of our hand. They want to be able to witness every single dime and nickel that we spend. According to the New York Times report, throughout his career, Bob has been a keen observer of the banking industry. He witnessed the savings and loan crisis and the subsequent rise of banks, which he chronicled as leading to the 2008 financial crisis. Well, his views have evolved over time, especially after last spring's regional banking crisis. And I have to be honest with you, my friends, there are still forms of banking crises going on. There is almost not a day that goes by that I don't come across a column dealing with Chase, with Wells Fargo, with Bank of America, who all of a sudden money has just disappeared out of people's accounts. Or banks are just making a decision to close accounts down and not give the people their money. Something is going on. Bove now sees the offshoring of American manufacturing as a significant threat to the financial sector of the dollar. And he argues that it gives increasing control over the global economy to those manufacturing goods elsewhere. The New York Times article says that Bove's career in financial analysis began before the widespread use of ATMs. And he gained prominence in the late 1970s as a construction industry analyst before shifting to high finance. And known for his willingness to challenge the status quo, Bove made several notable predictions, including the instability of the housing market in 2005 and the misjudged post-2008 recovery of major banks. He wrote a book in 2013 called Guardians of Prosperity, wherein he argued against stringent regulations on big banks, a stance he has since reconsidered. These are things to take a distinct look at. We now have U.S. lawmakers who are warning. The national debt is the greatest threat to this country as it surpassed $34 trillion. Does any of this make sense? Or have we just reached a point that we don't care anymore? Think about that. Have we just reached that point that we don't care because it's not going to make any difference? It's going to be whatever will be, que sera, sera. This is interesting stuff to consider, my friends. I have to honestly say that life goes on. How much life we have left is interesting. Very interesting. I don't know. Some of the headlines that we published over the last couple of days, I not updated any of them today. I've been very busy. But another one of these is further on. Continues with the same mentality. A mega crash is coming in 2024. Very interesting interview with Harry Dent. He says the everything bubble could finally burst this year. And bubbles are dangerous because our economy has been overstimulated. And once assets begin to sell off, the move down will happen fast. We'll not know until the second half of this year whether we'll be able to get through it. And the problem is that things could be happening very fast by then. Bubbles crash because they go to such extremes by nature when people are just investing in things because they're going up. The normal course, Dent says, is that we have a recession once every decade. We have a boom for 7 or 8 years, and then we slowly go into a recession for 2 or 3 years. That is how our economy stays healthy. That's what we've been preventing since 2008. We're not allowing failure because they're scared failure will cause the whole castle to come down. But this is far more global. There's almost nothing that hasn't bubbled. And Dent cautions that once the sell-off begins, the stock market could drop 60%, which will be the middle wave down. Every major crash in history has had 3 waves down. He said that the last wave would follow after that, but the biggest damage is coming in the second wave. People begin to panic when the NASDAQ drops below that level. And it goes on and on and on. He gets into very intense discussion about Bitcoin. What's it telling the markets? Likely to be the leading indicator. If it keeps falling, it'll be an alarm for other assets, including real estate and gold. And there's only one thing about gold. Up, down, or sideways. It doesn't matter. Because gold always maintains a degree of purchase power. It has for years. Don't care if it's up. Don't care if it's down. People, what's spot gold today? Who cares? What's spot dollar today? Oh, 20 cents, 40 cents. That's not even that. The dollar has lost 96% of its buying power in the last 10, 12 years. Oh, it still says a dollar on it, or a 5, or a 10, or a 20, or a 50, or whatever the case may be. But it ain't buying what a 1, or a 5, or a 10, or a 20, or a 50 bought 100 years ago. It's not buying what it bought 5 years ago. But gold still is. That's the reason we own gold. Up, down, or sideways. Another headline, gold, silver get modest lifts on safe haven buying. This is a real interesting article. How much is 1 pound of gold worth? Hey, jeez. Simply amazing. How much is 1 pound of gold worth? Have you considered adding gold to your investment portfolio? This precious metal can be used as a hedge against inflation, protection against fluctuations in the stock market, or in other ways to add stability to investment portfolios. Yeah, you're absolutely correct. Security factor. The U.S. debt to gross domestic product ratio is worsening further despite solid economic growth because government debt balloons at a scary pace. Another interesting headline. A professor exposes that the banking cartel that has hijacked U.S. democracy. Headline. Market analysts and retail investors await Fed's direction on gold prices. Who cares about the Fed's direction? They're the foreigners. Gold gains, U.S. Treasury yields drop. Is the U.S. economy actually growing? Oh, come on. Who's zooming who, folks? I don't buy into that nonsense. Let me pop something open here real fast. I don't too often interrupt the program for this purpose. Well, let's see. Gee, gold a few days ago was $20.20. It's now $20.43, almost $20.44 an ounce right now. Silver is still kind of laying down there, kind of flat. It's $23. Platinum is, as usual, going nowhere. $9.29, $9.30. I remember the days platinum was three times what gold was. I guess they found other ways to make catalytic converters, huh? I know. It's crazy. Gold gains as U.S. Treasury yields drop. Is the U.S. economy actually growing? Are you kidding me? Who says that? Oh, okay. Michael Snyder. It's a good piece. He opens by saying, okay, they want us to believe that the U.S. economy grew at a very brisk pace during the fourth quarter of last year, even though mass layoffs are happening all over America. Sales of previously owned homes are at their lowest level in 28 years. Homelessness is rising at the fastest pace ever recorded. And survey after survey is showing that most Americans are just barely scraping by from month to month. Month to month? Too many of them can't scrape by from week to week to get to the grocery store and pick up something else to eat. Something doesn't add up here. The American people are deeply frustrated with how the economy is performing, but the government keeps giving us numbers that indicate that everything is just la-di-da, baby. It's appalling. Simply appalling. Let's do a little bit of history for a while. Let's talk about gold as a hedge against hyperinflation. A man named Nicholas Taleb wrote a book called The Black Swan. He says the inability to predict outliers implies the inability to predict the course of history. But we act as though we are able to predict historical events, or even worse, as if we are able to change the course of history. We produce 30-year projections of Social Security deficits and oil prices without realizing that we cannot even predict these for next summer. Our cumulative prediction errors for political and economic events are so monstrous that every time I look at the empirical record, I gotta pinch myself to verify that I'm not dreaming. What's surprising is not the magnitude of our forecast errors, but our absence of awareness of it. We start taking a look at some of the interesting lessons. Gold. Inflation. Hedge against inflation. In a class that was given some years ago, the teacher said there's a reason in all this which it behooves every thinking man to ponder. The lesson is there's a connection between government over-issuance of paper money, inflation, and the destruction of middle-class savings has been routinely ignored in the modern era. And the essay tells the story of how good men, with nothing but the noblest of intentions, can drag a nation into monetary chaos in service to a political end. And yet there's still something else, something perhaps even more profound. Democratic institutions, well-meaning though they might be, have a fateful, almost predestined inclination to print money when backed against the wall by unpleasant circumstances. Isn't that what's been happening this last couple of years under Joe Biden? Episodes of hyperinflation ranging from Genghis Khan's complete debasement of the very first paper currency through the debacle in Venezuela a few years ago. Well, they all start modestly and they progress almost quietly until something takes hold in the public consciousness that unleashes the pent-up price inflation with all its fury. And once the inflationary genie's out of the bottle, oh, please, don't walk me down that wacky singer Britney Spears.
Genie in the bottle, baby.
Once that genie's out of the bottle, it's difficult to get back in. Frederick Kessler, a Berkeley law professor who experienced the 1920s nightmare German inflation firsthand, gave this description some years later during an interview published in a book called Fiat Paper Money, The History and Evolution of Our Currency. Kessler said it was horrible, horrible. Like lightning had struck. No one was prepared. You cannot imagine the rapidity with which the whole thing happened. The shelves in the grocery stores were empty. You could buy nothing with your paper money. And then there was the Louis d'Or, a French gold coin weighing 0.1867 of a net fine ounce gold. Stings in the market as a monitor, noting each day with unerring fidelity the decline in value of the assignat. A monitor not to be bribed, not to be scared. Interesting. French gold coin, 0.1867 net fine of an ounce. I have provided hundreds of thousands of those to my clients over the years, along with the Italian and the Belgian and the Greek, all of the same weight. We take a look at so many examples, how everything crashed. On August the 1st of 1795, the gold louis of 25 francs was worth in paper 920 francs. In September the 1st, 1,200 francs. November the 1st, 2,600 francs. On December the 1st, 3,050 francs. And in February of 1796, it became worth 7,200 francs. Meaning 1 franc in gold was worth 288 francs in paper. Prices of all commodities went up nearly in proportion. And yet we reach a point that things begin to go the other way. It's appalling. History has proven these things to last and go over and over and over. But then we can also take a look at gold as a deflation hedge. Couldn't we? Interesting. Let's take a fast peek at something here. Yeah. Webster defined deflation as a contraction in the volume of available money and credit that resulted in a general decline in prices. Now, typically, deflations occur in gold standard economies when the state is deprived of its ability to conduct bailouts or run deficits and print money. Characterized by high unemployment and bankruptcies and government austerity measures and bank runs, a deflationary economic environment is often accompanied by a stock and bond market collapse and general financial panic. An altogether unpleasant set of circumstances, of course. The Great Depression of our grandparents, and in some cases our parents, of the 1930s, served as a workable example of the degree to which gold protects its owners under deflationary circumstances. Now, first of all, because back then the price of gold was fixed at $20.67 an ounce. But again, purchasing power as the general price level fell. In 1933, when the U.S. government raised the price of gold to $35 per ounce, in an effort to reflate the economy through a formal devaluation of the dollar, gold gained even more purchasing power. Of course, then it was Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who confiscated gold bullion by executive order to, in concert with that devaluation, but exempted what they call rare and unusual gold coins. Now, that's true and not true. Doesn't have to be rare and unusual. Any American minted gold coin struck at that time, prior to 1933, you could own all you wanted, so long as you had different dates, different mint marks, different denominations, and then you were considered a collector. But going back to those days, even as a result, only those citizens who owned gold coins dated before 1933 were able to reap the benefit of the higher fixed price. Well, some of that began to change in 1954, but that's for another time. Now, since gold acts as a standalone asset that is not someone else's liability, it functions as an effective store of value before and after the 1929 stock market crash and the sting of or string of bank failures that followed in its wake. Those who either converted a portion of their capital to gold or withdrew their savings from the banking system in the form of gold coins before the crisis struck weathered the breakdown. Those who did not found themselves at the mercy of events when the stock market crashed and the banks closed their doors, many of which had already been bankrupted. And aren't we seeing a certain amount of that taking place in this country right now? How many banks literally have failed over the last year to a year and a half? So let me reiterate these last two sentences. Those who either converted a portion of their capital to gold or withdrew their savings from the banking system in the form of gold coins before the crisis struck, they weathered the storm. They weathered the breakdown. Those who did not found themselves at the mercy of events when the market crashed and the banks closed their doors. So how might gold react in deflation under today's fiat money system? It probably becomes somewhat more complicated. For even in a fiat money system like the one we have today, the general price level would be falling by definition. Economists who make the deflationary argument within the context of a fiat money economy usually use the analogy of the central bank pushing on a string. It wants to inflate, but no matter how hard it tries, the public refuses to borrow and spend. If all that sounds familiar, it should. Because it's precisely the situation that the Federal Reserve finds itself in today. In the end, so goes the deflationist argument. The central bank fails in its efforts. The economy rolls over from the recession to a full-blown deflationary depression, much like what happened during the 1930s. And how the government treats gold under a deflationary scenario may play heavily into its performance. Will gold be subjected to price controls and restricted ownership as it was in the 30s? Maybe it'll likely perform as it did then. Purchasing power will increase as the price level fell. For under such circumstances, the ownership of so-called rare and unusual gold coins might once again come into play. But you see, I have a problem with that. People who write articles with this continued mentality of rare and unusual, they don't want to tell you that in 1954, all of that changed. In this country, in 1933, and Roosevelt allowed us to own a wide range of U.S. minted gold coins. And don't kid yourself. I knew far too many people that owned gold coins from other parts of the world. They didn't turn them in. They shut up and put them away because they knew eventually they'd be able to barter and trade with them. 1954 comes along. The rules changed. Any gold coin minted prior to 1933 was legal to own because it had historic basis. British sovereigns, Russian rubles, German 20 marks, the first two gold coins I ever bought. I was 12 years of age. I bought two German 20 mark gold coins. But as I've shared with you already, you take a look at Belgium, France, Switzerland, Greece, Italy. Those are the five coin-accompanying countries in particular that I can think of that each one of their 1/5 ounce gold coins weighed exactly the same size, the weight, the purity, everything. You could take a coin from Greece and spend it in France. And you could get a piece in Italy and spend it in Belgium. Or a Belgian piece and go spend it in Greece. Nobody argued about the value because they understood exactly what it was. Keep all these things in mind. There have been some interesting things taking place. Many of you know I've not been spending a lot of time advertising and offering product on the airways for a while. Because, number one, I understand exactly what's going on around the world, in this country. People are desperately trying to put food on the table, gas in their tank. It's interesting that gasoline prices are still jumping up and down all over the place. They get it down below $3 here in Arizona, and they find a way to get it back up to the mid-50s. Nah, you find a piece of music and tune music or, you know, money music and play it. It's okay. You know, hey, you and I don't have any disagreements or arguments with that. You just grab it and go for it, man. That's me talking to Michael. Speaking of which, no promises on this, but there's something very special that we're working on for the second hour for tomorrow night. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I will tell you it will be a rerun, something I recorded many, many years ago. It will have a lot of meaning to a very large percentage of our listeners. For younger listeners, it may not have much meaning at all, other than the main song. But, yeah, it's a program that I did on the anniversary of a very particular thing that happened, and we're hoping we're going to be able to pull this off. So as soon as I get off the air, I got to shoot it over to Michael. He can clean it up a little bit, take some ads out. It was broadcast on another network I was with at the time. And I'm not going to tell you what it is. You're going to have to tune in second hour tomorrow night. Anyway, I've not been, doing a lot of specific hardline offers. It's not that we don't continue to sell things or have things available. I've got gold. I've got silver. Copper is the one darn thing I could get, but everybody got greedy with copper. My original copper supplier got real greedy, and it ticked me off. Really ticked me off because I had done business with them for years and years and years, and all of a sudden they decided they wanted to change the way we did business together. They wanted my website. Well, why? I said, I don't advertise a lot of products on the website. It's there for information purposes. They just want to make sure I'm legitimate. Oh, the 6 or 7 years I've done business with you, I wasn't considered legitimate, but now all of a sudden Sonny Boy takes over the company and decides he wants to change things up? Yeah, forget it. So, you know, there are some things that I put on the website on Sierra Madre Precious Metals. And I pretty much had the same couple of things there for a good number of months because they really do very well. I'm doing a lot with the 1 ounce silver buffalo rounds. We can get some other designs. You know, I'm not against American Eagles, but they're too damn expensive. You're not getting any more silver with them. Oh, but they're American, so they got to be worth more. No, they're not. You got the government's gotten greedy, and they want more. I want as much as I can get for the dollar to spend. Now, I've got to do some updating on the prices, but I don't do it every 5 minutes. But if you go to SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com, you can, down on the right-hand side, right-hand column, there's a painting of Humphrey Bogart. I've told you this a million times. Le Tresor de la Sierra Madre. Sierra Madre treasure chest. Click on that picture. Oh, by the way, read the two articles that are right below it. Don't Take Any Wooden Nickels and The Legend of Jacques Dupré. So you open up the Bogart thing, you scroll on down, you see a little bit of my satirical commentary and a couple of images from the movie Treasure Sierra Madre, a couple of live little YouTube dealy bobs. And Howard's doing the talking, telling you about all the goods we found stashed in California on our way to the mines and the Sierra Madres, and they was waiting for you to place your order. That's my twisted sense of humor. So we've got some of the stuff up there on the buffaloes. By the way, I've got another picture of the buffaloes that I'm going to be putting up on the site. It's really amazing. We can get small orders if you want one roll, two rolls. If you get five or more rolls, you're going to get much better pricing. Four or five rolls or more, you're going to get better pricing. One or two rolls, I got to go to a local guy. His pricing just is not all that great, but I can ship it much cheaper. So we got things we can do. Now, you scroll on down a little bit further, you see the Valcombi 10 by 1/10 ounce combi bar. Pure gold, 1 ounce. Okay? And as I mentioned earlier, spot gold is up now. Right, the page is listed at 2,038. It's, I think, almost $10 higher than that right now. So I got to adjust some pricing. But the thing I like about this particular piece is it breaks into 1/10 ounce bars. They break clean. You see a picture of a guy down below who's actually snapping one of them in half. And you see how they break. These are the kind of things we do. Over the last several days, all of a sudden, things have just... Look, I don't pick up my phone and dial for dollars. I don't bombard my existing clients, people who have done business in the past. I don't bombard them with emails every week. Hey, I got a hot deal, I got a hot deal, I got a hot deal. That'd be the first reason that I would stop doing business with somebody. But I understand people are trying to survive. They're trying to get through this crap that this government has shoved down our throat. It's not going to get any better. And yet, little by little, my phone's starting to ring again. And people are starting to make acquisitions. I have a gentleman I just shipped four of the Valcombi bars to the other day. Got another order for some yesterday. Got a call from a client who has about X number of dollars to deal with about once a month. Called up, ordered a bunch of silver today. Last month he ordered gold. And then I got phone calls from two other clients who've been very big, big, big clients over the years. And why did they call me? Because we've had that kind of relationship. I will work hard for you. This is your money. It's not my money. I can't give the stuff away, obviously, but I work hard for you to get you some reasonably fast delivery. One of my clients wanted to know, do you want me to do a bank wire? I said, you can if you want to. You're going to pay a wiring fee. My bank's going to charge me a fee. And, of course, I got to turn around and rewire the money back out to the supplier. And, you know, he's looking at picking up $15,000, $16,000 worth of one-ounce gold pieces. Gentleman who called yesterday, we've done things for a lot of years. Bought a lot of silver. In fact, both of the clients have bought a lot of silver for me in the early days. And they're getting older, and they're saying, this stuff's too damn heavy to pick up and carry. I says, you're damn right. I have an attorney that I've dealt with for many years who I've talked about her. His sister was my secretary. The company I first met Robbie Noel with, Viking International Trading. And he's an attorney who spent massive amounts of money with me. And typically $100,000, $200,000 every year. And called me up a couple weeks ago and wanted silver, which kind of surprised me. It's not that he doesn't have silver, but he's been a pretty major buyer of gold. Well, turns out he sold his law practice. He and his wife paid off the mortgage on their house. They have absolutely no debt. The building he is currently leasing, he's already gone in to negotiate an early termination of that lease because the office that he has is going to be getting moved elsewhere. And it was an absolute shock to him that this very sizable law firm, you know, these are one of the typical guys that got their billboards all over town. Hey, the accident attorney, accident attorney, accident attorney. Call Joe Blow. Hey, the husband and wife law team. Oh, no, thank you. It wasn't them that bought it. They came in and made a phenomenal offer to buy him out because they realized he had done things legitimately the right way. He wasn't nickel and diming people doing things so cheap that the attorneys got most of the money and the client who needed it got screwed. So the point I'm making up is, look, if you're wanting to acquire some gold, some silver, if you just want to talk to get some common sense discussion. I've had clients who've had to liquidate some of their stuff this year because that's what's happened. I've got a gentleman who he's the guy who called me last week when I was on the air. I said, I'm on the air. And I tried calling him back, but apparently he was out of town. So I've got to try to call him tomorrow because I got a couple of doctor's appointments tomorrow. One of them is going to be an interesting one with my doctor because he and I are going to have a very interesting conversation about things that he's not felt a need to talk about. Well, he's going to have a need because he's got me. And some of the things we talked about tonight during the first hour I'm going to discuss with him, but I've got some other issues I need to talk to him about. So, you know, just if you have an interest, if you need to sell, call me. If you need to want to buy, call me. If you just want to inquire, because it's something you've never done before, you want to start out with one or two rolls of silver. Maybe that's all you can afford to buy is one roll of silver. Well, for a one roll, you're going to pay a slightly higher price because I got to go to my local guy. But I don't mind going to see him. I've been dealing with him for over 30 years. And the shipping is going to be cheap. If the big supplier does it, unless you buy a full box of silver, they're going to charge us $25. Plus, of course, I got to wire funds to them. So that's, you know, it's what we do. I can be reached by a phone, 602-799-8214. There are some people that probably were still calling my old phone number, which I finally gave up last year because nothing was coming in. I shared that with you a couple of weeks ago, just nothing but big problems with that phone number and with the original phone company. And then when Cox, my web people took it over, it was no better. And I just finally said, that's it. I'm done. So anybody trying to call that old number, it wasn't even getting forwarded to my new number, which it should have been. 602-799-8214. Most of you listeners have got access to the internet. If you can't remember that number, go to Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. You know what? If you're going to the RBN website, they've got that same picture up there. You can click on it. It'll take you right to my website. And son of a gun, down near the bottom of the page is my address, my phone number, and son of a gun, the email address too. So I can be reached if you've got questions. Let's try to answer them for you. If you've got people you've dealt with over the years and you're happy with them, then continue to do things that way. You know, but sometimes I've got access to things that some of them don't. Small, large, medium. Listeners who make the decision to acquire gold and silver through me, listeners to RBN, this is one of the ways we keep RBN going. I've shared with you, I'm the only broadcaster at this network that contributes a single dime to this network. They benefit with some of the money you spend on the gold and the silver. Yeah. So why not? Been a long couple of days. I hope you learned a few things tonight. Maybe some things that... I say it's rare that I get into a so-called sales pitch, but this wasn't really a sales pitch. It was just kind of a wake-up call as to why we do the things that we do. And you know, if you are never fully aware of it, you go to Sierra Madre Precious Metals. Yeah, you're going to see a lot of headlines. It's rare that I don't do a lot of full articles, but I did. Last week, Ron Paul's piece called Don't Tax the Rich in the Fed. The other piece called Why the World Economy is in Trouble and Who Caused It. Another article we have up there called Precious Metals, The Best Way to Buy. Yeah. Oh, I got my little twist sense of humor in there, too. Yeah, I stuck a little bit of Howard in there. But you got to give us a call so we can do our best to get you cared for. Gold, silver, whatever you want, we can deliver. And I do some interesting things with images. You know, I mean, why not? Old movie posters, Johnny McBrown, boss of Bullion City. Why not? I love doing it. It's too much fun. And it talks about the history and the safety. The protection that gold and silver will provide you. An ounce of gold or silver had bought roughly the same amount of food, clothing, labor, materials, and shelter for over 3,000 years. That's simple fact. That's a good article to read. Precious metals, the best way to buy. Yeah. Currently on that front page. I may actually hang on to that and give it a little thing of its own and mark it over the right hand side. A lot of stuff that we can do. I try to teach, we try to educate. It's more important. Upon occasions, we get angry. We entertain. Why not? It's stuff. Let's see what else we got going on here. What is this? America's syphilis epidemic has laid bare. The rates of STD have risen to the highest levels since the 1950s. Oh, my God. Syphilis. Nobody hears that word anymore. That's a headline I'm looking at right now on another page. HIV, forget that. Too much of this nonsense is going on. Insanity. Pure insanity. Just 4 weeks to more youthful skin. Yeah, okay, sure. Uh-oh. What's going on here? Nah, we don't care about that. Oh, will King Charles snub President Biden to attend a horse race? Who cares? Biden should be snubbed by everybody. I mean, if you want to get a little off your wacko here, go to Federal Observer. In fact, I sent a note to the author, Kunstler. I sent him an email. I've never emailed him before. And I finally did it yesterday and got an answer back from him because I was teasing him about this stuff. Michel Mabel. And I sent him this note and said, hey, look, I republished your article, gave you full credit, the whole nine yards, the link, but I made the decision to use a somewhat different picture of Michel. And the email he sent me, I will not say on the air. Let's just say we both got a good laugh out of it. Yeah. Why not? But there's more and more articles out there talking about that very issue. That very issue, that it looks more and more as if Michel could in fact be Joey's possible replacement. Biden's preparing a weeks-long retaliation campaign on the Iran-backed terrorists after three U.S. soldiers were killed. This guy just keeps going in and gets us into more and more and more caca. This is unbelievable. This is absolutely insane. When are they going to stop? What's their purpose? Something's not right, people. Just unbelievable. U.S. preparing weeks of strikes and cyber attacks against Iran-linked targets after the deaths of three American soldiers? Yeah, let's just go have another war. We're stuck in so many other wars, other messes. This is unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. The insanity of everything going on in this world. I can't remember what state this is. Troubled 14-year-old child was taken away by the state and transitioned against her will. The parents were not in agreement of changing this girl into a little boy. The state took the kid and let the kid do what it wanted. Do you begin to understand the insanity of all this? My God, people. Absolutely insane. More headlines every day, every night. Simply appalling. Simply appalling. I don't know how this nation is going to survive. I don't know how the people are going to survive. It's unreal. Simply unbelievable. Oh, scientists say they discovered a new food source that could save humanity in the event of nuclear war. So is your hometown at risk if there's an attack? How to grow up to 33.63 tons of emergency kelp? Yeah, I guess we could eat it, you know. I don't know enough about kelp. Maybe some of you do. It's unreal. Oh, my God. A 39-year-old woman reveals she's pregnant with her 20th child. Each and every one with a different man. Says she's going to keep having kids so she can no longer conceive. Despite admitting she can't even afford to support her own family. Oh, God. Well, these are the kind of things we're facing. This is the insanity that we're living in this world, my friends. You don't have to like it. Doesn't make a lot of difference. I guess it's what it's become. Goldfinger. That's the middle finger. Take care of yourselves. Thanks for staying with me tonight. I'm a little out of whack tonight. Glad to have you here. Lord willing, stick around. Got more programming coming up here in a few minutes. Lord willing, I'll see you tomorrow night. Without apology.
I'm out of here, baby.
Such a cold finger beckons you to enter his web of sin. You feel for a golden girl knows when he's kissed her. It's the kiss of death from Mr. Goldfinger. Pretty girl, beware of this heart of gold. This kiss of death from Mr. Goldfinger. Pretty girl, beware of this heart of gold. This heart is cold. He loves only gold. Only gold. He loves gold. He loves only gold. Only gold. He loves gold.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.